This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the sovereign word of God.
It is the sovereign word of God.
I submit and surrender my life to this word. It is the final authority for everything in my life. I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do. On this day, I boldly confess. My mind is alert.
My heart is
receptive. I'll never be the same again. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. The solid, powerful
Word
work in my life and through my circumstances. And it shall forever be unto me a fountain of life. And I shall never thirst again. In Jesus' name. Chapter 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. Blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, sitting by the roadside begging. Heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up. On your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight. Followed Jesus along the road. The Bible says that when he heard that Jesus was nearby, he shouted, "Jesus, have mercy on me." There were those who rebuked him, told him to be quiet. The Bible says in verse 48, he shouted all the more. Look at somebody and ask them the question,
how bad
do you want it?
How bad
do you want to prosper?
Do you want to succeed?
Do you want to go higher?
Do you want to
be blessed?
Do you want to be
overcomer? Do you want to be a winner?
Do you
want to
be a champion?
How bad do you want it? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How bad do you want it? Everybody wants to succeed. Everybody wants to be a success. Everybody wants to be a winner. Don't think you ask any child when they're young, what do they want to be, that any will say that I want to be a loser, that I want to go to prison, that I want to be strung out on drugs, that I want to be in a dead-end job or a dead-end situation, that I want to be a person who has unfulfilled dreams and visions, and I want to be hopeless and helpless. I want to be struggling all the time and hurting all the time and making excuses all the time and failing all the time. People talk about their dreams and and their aspirations, they don't talk about failing, they talk about succeeding. They don't talk about being a loser, they talk about being a winner. They don't talk about being suppressed and kept down, but they talk about overcoming. Something happens along the course of life that seems to rob people of their hope, that seems to rob people of their vision, that seems to rob people of their dreams, that seems to hold people down and keep people back and so that they do not fulfill their dreams. They never reach their destiny. They never get to the place that they hope to go. And it's easy to always look around and say, I did not make it because of this or that or him or her or that situation or this situation, or nobody gave me a chance, or nobody gave me an opportunity, or things just didn't work out in my favor. The cards were not in my favor. The hand was dealt to me the wrong way. It's oftentimes easy to look at our situation and find the culprit to be everybody else but me. It's always somebody else. It's always something else that has caused me to miss out on my opportunity, to miss out on my place in history, my place of destiny, my time for success. But I just want to let you know today that really your success, your prosperity, getting out of life what God has destined for you, is and has never been up to anybody else except you. We must take full responsibility for where we are in life, what it is that we are able to accomplish or not to accomplish. I'm talking to somebody today that maybe you've given up on a dream. I'm speaking to somebody today that maybe you have been accusatory of others in your failure. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody today that you feel like you tried the best that you can try and it's just not going to work out for you, and so you've given up, you've thrown in the towel, you said, I will not go any further, I will not try anymore, I cannot take anymore. I want to let you know today that God said, yes, you can. That God said you are able, that God said you can succeed, that you can overcome. But what you have to know how to do is maintain a level of faith and focus that is determinant and there with you to get you to the finish line. Paul said, he said, I fought the good fight of faith and I have finished my course. I think it's time for us to learn how to finish the race. Amen. Anybody can jump in the race. Anybody can talk a good game. Anybody can say what they want to do. But when the storms of life come, when the trials of life come, when the temptations of life come, when the adversary of life comes against you, when your enemy rears his ugly head in your face, you have to have enough faith, focus, and determination to finish the race. Look at somebody and say, finish the race.
Finish the race.
If you're in the race, you might as well finish the race.
That's right.
Listen, to the victor go the spoils. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
To the victor goes the spoils. And there will be people and there will be circumstances that will try to keep you from finishing the race. In fact, you can be on your way to victory and defeat will try to snatch it out of your hands. But we must be determined to win.
Amen.
We must be determined to overcome. We must be determined to succeed and not allow anybody or anything to keep us from our blessed place. Our place of blessing, our wealthy place, the place that God wants us to be. Do you not know that God wants you to succeed?
Amen. God never wants for our ultimate condition to be failure. You stressed out and depressed all the time about the issues of life. That is the road called failure. God wants to get you off that road and get you back on the road called success. But you have to be determined to get there. It doesn't matter what I got to go through. Doesn't matter what comes up against me. I'm ready for the fight. And there are some fights you ought to get into. Come on, somebody. There will be some battles you ought to engage in. But know that when you fight, when God is on your side, it's not a fair fight. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are in a fixed fight and it's fixed in your favor. Are you with me today? We are in a fixed fight, and the fight is fixed in our favor. The question is, will I stand tall in the midst of the struggle and let the devil know that no matter what he throws against me, with God, I will be still standing after all the dust clears? Some of us, we don't know how we're going to be standing. I don't know what I got to go through to be standing. But I'm still going to be standing. Now let me say this. You stand because you have been planted in a firm foundation. Jesus is our foundation. No greater, no better foundation, no more stronger foundation has been laid than that of Jesus Christ. Look at somebody and say, you can build on Jesus. You can build your hopes on Jesus. You can build your dreams on Jesus. You can build success on Jesus. You can overcome on Jesus. There is no failure in the Lord. But the question is not, is God able? The question is, how much do you want it? Come on, somebody. How much do you want it? And how much do you believe that God wants it for you? Do you make God a part of everything in your life? Every aspect of your life. Even the seemingly inconsequential, insignificant things. Do you talk to God about it? Do you give God praise for the victories that you have in life? Do you give God praise when things work out in your favor? And do you still proclaim the name of Jesus and yet give him praise when things don't work out in your favor? Are y'all listening to me today? I was watching a ball game a couple of weeks ago, and the team that won, the quarterback after the game, was crying and saying, thank you, Jesus. And there were some commentators, I heard some radio personalities, who said, I get tired when people say, thank you, Jesus, after winning a ball game. As though the Lord picks up. The Lord said, I want this team to win and that team to lose. Especially if they're Christians on both sides. So how can a person give thanks to God for the victory? Well, maybe the person was not giving thanks to God for the victory in that they prayed that God would choose sides. But maybe they were giving thanks to God for the victory because they prayed that God would give them the strength, that God would give them the faith, that while they were in the midst of the battle, that they would remain focused, that they would remain determined, that they would remain strong, that they would remember all that they had gone through, so that when it came time to make the right play, they were full of faith and full of determination and full of the skill and willpower to win. And so I say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because
I didn't get weak. Thank you, Lord, because I did not doubt. Thank you, Lord, because I put in the extra time to work on my skills. Thank you, God, that when it came time for me to make the right decision, my mind was clear and my body was strong.
Amen.
Don't allow anybody to keep you from giving God praise.
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
So maybe God did not determine the outcome, but God sure did give me the strength to stand in a time of a struggle. That's what life is about. Because sometimes your enemy might be your inner me. Sometimes your enemy might be somebody you call friend. Come on, somebody. Sometimes your enemy might be another brother or sister in Christ. It's not that they are against you and don't want you to fail. It's just that they're just so negative and they can never see you succeeding, and so they don't ever say anything that is positive and to encourage you. Jesus loved Peter, but when Peter said something that was not in line with God, Jesus said, "Satan, I rebuke you. Get thee behind me." Are y'all with me? And sometimes, listen, when you're on the road to success and you're trying to succeed, you got to tell some people in the spiritual, Holy Ghost kind of way, shut up and get out of my way.
Amen.
And that's exactly what blind Bartimaeus did. Because as blind Bartimaeus was laying there, sitting there on the side of the road, not in the game, can't even spectate because he cannot see, and hearing others being blessed up and down the road, when he heard that Jesus was right there in the midst, he cried out and asked for help. And when he cried out, those who were succeeding and those who were going on about their day and those who didn't care anything about blind Bartimaeus told him to be quiet. But watch what blind Bartimaeus did. The Bible says he shouted all the more. Sometimes you got to raise your voice above the foolishness.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to shout. Sometimes you got to cry out. Bartimaeus did not allow anybody to discourage him. When you're so close to your blessing, you cannot afford to allow other people to rob you of your opportunity to be blessed.
You can.
That's when you got to get determined, you got to get focused, and you got to cry out, "I want to see." How bad did he want to see? He wanted to see bad enough that he didn't care what anybody else thought. He didn't care what anybody else said. He didn't care how he looked. He didn't care how he sounded. All he wanted to do was make sure that he got Jesus' attention. And so he shouted out, "I want to see."
Amen.
How bad do you want to succeed? Sometimes you just need to shout it out. Go in your house and say, "I want to be blessed. I want to have more. I want God to use me more. I want more money."
Yeah.
Come on, y'all.
Yeah.
So y'all don't want to hear that in church. Okay, we can't talk about having more money. Pray and ask the Lord to bless in other ways. But don't ask for money. I'm tired of that foolishness. Especially since we need money up in here. People always say, "Well, it's not about the money." We say that in church. It's not about the money. The devil is a liar. The Bible says money answers all things. Go look at the Bible. That's the word of God. Money answers all things. It's not about the money. It's not about the money. Yes, it is about the money. Come on, somebody. So why is it about the money? Because money is the one thing that people have paid attention to throughout history. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic. It doesn't matter if you're Asian. It doesn't matter if you're green, yellow, purple, or pink. It doesn't matter. Listen, where you come from. It doesn't matter. Listen, what time, what era you've lived in. Money has always made a difference in somebody's life. Amen. Are y'all with me? And when you have money, you can do things. If you're sick and you have money, you might get better care. If you're hungry and you have money, you can go get you something to eat. If you're naked and you have money, you can put clothes on your back. Are y'all with me? Well, that's not good enough. I got everything I need. Listen, as a child of God, you need more because the kingdom needs more.
Amen.
You need to give more to the kingdom. So the question is not so much, do I have everything I need? Is the kingdom have everything it needs? Are y'all with me?
Amen.
So this year, we need to start talking about money. Not just money, but you do need to talk about money. More than enough. Not just enough to pay your bills, but more than enough. That you might be a giver in the house of God. Are y'all willing? Are y'all listening to me? That you might be a giver in the kingdom of God. That you can bless the kingdom of God. Listening to a man the other day, he was a millionaire. He said, I'm going to leave all my money to charity. I'm going to leave them and my kids. They got to learn on their own. I'm leaving all to charity. He said, he doesn't do what he wants to. But he's got it to leave.
Right.
Too many Christians die not just with untapped potential, but they also die broke. Are y'all with me? We'll have anything to leave when we die. We ought to leave something to the family and to the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
We have to start thinking differently. The Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. What does that mean if God don't plan to give it to us? Are y'all with me today?
Amen.
We have to list everything the Lord told me this morning. Tell y'all, I'm going to tell you now. Because I almost forgot to tell you, so I'm going to tell you now. List everything down that you need, on a piece of paper. Every single thing that you need on a piece of paper. Don't be conservative, be liberal. It's funny how the conservatives who are always talking about being conservative usually have the most money. Because they're not conservative when it comes to taking more money. Y'all can think about that in just a moment. Hold back, be conservative. And they go put $50 million into somebody's campaign for them to win. Why? Because they know if the right people get in the right place, it'll keep that money flowing. But you be conservative. See, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night.
Amen.
Write down on a piece of paper everything it is that you need. Write down everything it is that you see that the church needs. Come on, y'all. Are you with me? And then, on the other side, or back side, write down everything you just want. See, now some of us, our faith is such that we, not only can we not believe God for it, we don't even have enough faith to write it down. If Jesus tarries 500 years from now, none of us will be here. Hopefully our memories will remain some way, somehow. But we won't be here. Somebody else will have taken up our spot in this thing called the world. And so it is, we only have so much time in life to achieve great things. Why not seek to get everything God wants you to have in this life?
Yes, sir.
as opposed to just being so of a person who has no faith that you don't even ask for it. How bad do you want it? See, here's what some of us do. We go and we drive through nice neighborhoods and we really want it, but never believe we can attain it. We pick up a magazine and we dream, we really want it, but we never think it's for us. It's always for somebody else. Because it's always something special about them that allowed them to get to where they are. Listen, the unique thing that many of them have is that they were just more determined and more focused, and watch this, didn't care what anybody else thought about them. See, we consider too much what folk think about us.
Yes, we do.
How would this look? What would people say? People may laugh at us. They laughing at you anyway. They may talk about me. They talking about you anyway. They may not understand. So what? Blind Bartimaeus didn't care. Because if he didn't receive his sight, what would people have said about him? Oh, there is blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road begging. Now that he cried out and he was healed and delivered, what can they say about him? That used to be blind Bartimaeus, who used to be on the side of the road begging, but he ran into Jesus and he shouted and asked Jesus to heal them and to give him sight to see. And now that blind Bartimaeus who can see and has a testimony about the goodness of God. Same people that laugh at you, talk about it, don't take all that, be the first people in line asking for a loan.
Okay.
Listen, can I preach? Can I really talk there? Yeah. They'll be the first person they're asking for you to do something for them, to help them out.
That's true.
And saying, you mean we always been cool, you might, you know. We go way back. Tell them we don't go back far enough. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, round about verse 19, that God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. God has limitless riches.
Amen.
We have not tapped into, I don't think, but a very, very, very minute, minuscule portion of the riches that God has. His riches, really, when we try to consider it, are unfathomable to us. The Bible says that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. We cannot conceive in our mind the things that God has in store for us who believe. That God wants to give us. That God desires to give us. God wants it for us. Do we want it for ourselves? God wants you to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? God wants it real bad for you. How do we know that God wants it real bad for you? Because he sent Jesus down on the cross and shed his blood. He wants it for us. Do we want it for ourselves? Or are we full of excuses? Blind Bartimaeus could have said, look, I heard Jesus passing by, but I knew I shouldn't even say anything because I couldn't see. I couldn't get over there anyway. He could have said, look, I've become a professional beggar. If I get up and try to go get healed, somebody's going to take my spot where I beg, and then I'm going to lose out on what I got. He could have said that. He could have said, listen, I'm going to make some enemies out of some folk. People going to mistreat me now, trying to, you know, thinking that I can have a conversation with someone on the status of Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus could have made any number of excuses. And we make way too many excuses. Way too many excuses. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. Amen. Believe it's already yours. See, I think what happens to us is our lives become too cluttered. Sometimes we really have too much stuff going on. Our itinerary is too booked and we're not accomplishing the thing. Too cluttered. Our minds are too cluttered with words that are unfruitful for our success. We need to ask the Lord to renew our mind, to reset our mind. Some of the things we need to really forget so that we can learn anew the things of God. Be transformed, the Bible says, by the renewing of your mind. We need a transformation. Because our minds have been set on thinking negative for so long, and we don't even know that the thinking is negative.
That's good, Pastor.
We just think it's the way it should be. We should be so pushing the apparatus of our mind that every day is a new challenge to go higher, a new challenge to be more faithful, a new challenge to achieve and succeed more. Oftentimes we allow our physical limitations to hold us back. Any number of ailments we may have. This is the reason why I cannot. It's always amazing to me when I see some of the wounded warriors who come back off the battlefield and they're missing limbs. And they make it up in their mind, I'm not going to allow this to keep me from living life. They put on the prosthesis, the legs, the arms. You see him out shooting basketball. You see him riding a horse. You see him in a race. You see him jumping out of an airplane. You see him doing stuff they never thought to do when they had all of their limbs. Are y'all with me? How are they able to do it? Because now there's a new perspective. Now there's a new perseverance. Now there's a new determination. Now they're focused differently. Here we are, able-bodied. Come on, somebody. Able-bodied and won't get out and do a thing.
Change that mindset.
You have to make it up in your mind, I want better, and I'm going to do better, and it's up to me. If not up to anybody else, it's up to me. I win or lose on myself. Are y'all with me? That's why I like some of the sports that, like a tennis. I was watching the other night or early in the morning. I stayed up and watched Serena play Maria Sharapova. And in that game, there were a few times when Serena could have just said, tonight is not my night. She could have lost.
There were times when she got a ball in, she made a score, she would say, come on! She's talking to herself, pepping herself up. Come on, you can do it. Come on! Get the ball in. Are y'all with me? I watched the match before that match. She played an American 19-year-old girl, Madison Keys, who was awesome. She's probably going to be around for a long time. She really is a more powerful server than Serena. But Serena outlasted her and won that match. So when she's in the finals, the commentator said that it was the struggle with Madison Keys. Are y'all with me? It was how hard Madison was hitting that ball, and now that she's facing Maria, she knows she can win. What am I saying? When in life you have experienced failure, you've experienced setbacks, mistakes, but God has allowed you to overcome. It is the fact that you've gone through that struggle which should give you the faith to know that the next struggle, the next trial, the next storm that you go through, that if God was able in the past storm, then God is able in the present storm. Because watch this. Failure is never failure until you accept it as the final result. Blind Bartimaeus said, well, when I cried out, I tried. Y'all heard me. Did y'all hear me try? I tried. But they told me to be quiet and to shut up. And it wasn't my place. So I had to accept that. Y'all heard me say it over and over again. Never accept no from a person who does not have the ultimate authority to tell you yes. Never allow somebody to close a door for you that they don't have the power to open for you themselves. All of those people that were telling Bartimaeus to be quiet could not kill him anyway. They could not lay hands on him that he would be able to see. They could not give him his sight. So why would he allow them to make him shut up and sit down? I'm taking it to the final authority, to the one that has all of the authority. I'm taking my problem to Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'm going to cry out to the Lord. See, he was focused enough to know the right one to cry out to. Listen, y'all who like to have points, point number one is you need to be determined.
Amen.
Be determined. You see something, you want it, go for it with all your heart.
Amen.
Maybe you have to stay up late at night, work a little bit longer, may have to go it alone. You may not have all the money or the resources when you're doing it. People may talk about you, but be determined. Persevere. Keep the win, W-I-N, always in your mind. Going back to Serena for just a moment, when she won number 18, her 18th major, she said, the very moment that I won it, right when I won it, I couldn't help it. I was thinking about 19. So when she just won 19 the other day, she said, and I'm thinking about 20.
Yeah.
See, that's a winner. That's a believer.
believes in their talent and their gift. We have to believe in our God that way.
Amen.
When I have one victory on the battlefield, when I'm going on to the next battle. See, a lot of us, what we try to do is, let me come down here just a second. A lot of us, what we try to do is, Lord, I don't want no more battles. I don't want to go through any more storms. I don't want any more struggles. See, here's what a person of faith says. Come on! What's the next battle? Who's next? Come on! Are y'all with me? Come on, y'all. Are y'all with me? Who's next? Y'all, come on, y'all ball players. Y'all know how y'all can play on the court. Y'all be tearing folk up on the basketball court. And after you win, what'd you say? Who got next? Who next? Come on now. That's how it is. What battle is next? What trial is next? Because watch this. I want you to hear this. Y'all gonna get this. And I said this year, I don't care. I'm just going to take as long as I need to take to say what I need to say. So if y'all got a time on how long y'all got to be in here to get out of here, too bad. Never be afraid of the trial. Never be afraid of the storm. Never be afraid of the fire. You had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all remember them? The king said to them, you must bow to me. You shall be thrown into this fiery furnace. And it's hot. It's going to consume you. It's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. You're going to die. And they said, look, king. We cannot bow to you. And we will not bow to you. If you throw us in, that's just what you do. But understand this. We will never give up on our God. That's what they were saying. I'm putting my own words. Y'all know the story. They were thrown in. And as the soldiers were throwing them into the fiery furnace, they were perishing because it was too hot. But when the king looked in the furnace, he saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he saw a fourth one in there with him. And he said, I know we threw three people in there, but I see a fourth person, and he looks like the Son of God. What am I talking to? What am I talking about? For those of you who dare to say, listen, I want it all and I'm going after it and I'm going to get it. And I'm not going to allow anybody to keep me from it. Listen, you can't be afraid of the fire. You just believe by faith that when you go in the fire, that God's going to go in the fire with you. The fire can't hurt you if God is in the fire with you. The storm cannot hurt you if the Lord is in the midst of the storm. The battle cannot destroy you if God is in the battle with you. Don't be afraid of going into the storm. You need to tell the devil, I'm not afraid of the storm. I'm not afraid of the fire. I'm afraid of going in the fire without the Lord. But since I know the Lord is with me, and since I know the Lord is for me, and since I know that the Lord has me, listen, has me sewn up in him, I'm not afraid. In fact, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Some of y'all need to develop a swagger in your spirit. Listen. It's time for some of you to start taunting the devil. Oh, y'all was scared. Y'all was afraid, scared.
But mess with him, he gonna mess with me.
He's messing with you already. If you say something like, if I mess with him, he gonna mess with me, he's already gonna mess with you. Bible says that when the demons saw Jesus, the legion of demons, they said,
Listen, Jesus, what are you going to do with us? They trembled because they were afraid of him. It's time for devils to start trembling when you walk into the room.
Amen.
And you walk into the room, it's time for devils to start. Listen, they need to start running out like roaches when the light comes on. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
You listen. I got to say this. Y'all don't want to hear it. But you know that the roaches have taken over when you turn on the light and they still hanging out. They don't get up and run. They sit back and lay back and say, hey, you, what we going to do? What we going to eat? Some of us have allowed the roaches, the negativity in our life to remain when it's long been time for you to have cast it out. Don't doubt. The Bible says in Matthew 21:21, if you doubt, don't believe that you will receive. Don't doubt. Sometimes you got to look crazy. I'm yet believing. I'm yet trusting. I won't give up. I don't know what it means to give up. Now, you got to be focused. Did I tell you to be focused? Number two, be focused. Focus means you so fix your eyes on winning that the possibility of losing never really crosses your mind. There's nothing else but the win. Are you with me? There's nothing else but victory. Failure is impossible. I cannot comprehend it. I do not speak the language of failure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, fail? I cannot fail. I believe the report of the Lord. We are more than able.
Mm-hmm.
We are well able. There is no such thing of not succeeding. I must succeed. I must make it. I'm determined and I am focused. You write down your list, then write down the things that you do during the day. Those things that are not helpful to you accomplishing the things on your list, and you can eradicate them, get rid of them, stop doing them, then you must make a decision to stop. People that are holding you back and holding you down, you must make a decision. How bad do I want? That's what focus requires. Stop getting into useless and needless conversations and arguments and fights and fusses and all of this crazy, foolish stuff that has nothing to do with you winning. Just a waste of time.
Waste. Yep.
You sitting up holding a conversation with somebody trying to make somebody believe something about something that they will never believe. That they would never accept, that they would never understand. And you wasted 15, 20, 30 minutes out of your day talking about absolutely nothing. On the telephone, on Facebook, talking about absolutely nothing. Before you know it, that your day is over with. You've accomplished nothing. You've done nothing. You didn't even know that Jesus was there because you were wasting time. How bad do you want it? Well, stop wasting time. How mad is my boy? I'm a boy. I got to go hang out to my boy, to my peeps. Yeah, all right. You don't want it. Stop looking at past failures. Focus means you only look to the future and what you can do. He said, well, it didn't work before.
You know what? I learned what doesn't work. Let's keep moving forward. You need more people to help you. You always need people, but you need God more.
Amen.
Just say, Lord, what can I do? How bad do you want it? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. We have not because we ask not. That's what the Bible says.
Yes,
what I'm trying to put in your spirit, start asking God for it. Soon we'll be coming up on our time of fasting. We're going to focus on some things that we want God to do. And I'm believing God, praying to God for each person, that God will meet your needs and give you what you want. But I'm even praying even more that you have faith to believe that you can do it, that you can accomplish it, that God wants it for you. Don't ever look back on life and say the person I miss is the person I could have become. You ought to make it up in your mind. I've said this year, and I'm going to say it again. I'll keep on saying it. You should make it up in your mind, I will not live life with regrets. No more regrets. No more regrets. No more excuses. Listen, no more regrets. No more excuses. And no more worry. No more giving up before the race is over. I'll say it like Grandma used to say, I'm going to run to see where the end is going to be. The end is going to be wonderful. But along the way, I'm going to do some sightseeing, y'all. I told my wife, she don't like it. And I told her, I said, I want to get us an RV. We're going to go cross country. Drive. Have enough time. How long are you going to stay? I don't know. I'm just driving. I'm road tripping. I'm driving straight. Stop off in this county, this town. Stop the RV and stop at the Walmart, I guess. Sleep, enjoy. Baby, you gotta get ready for me. You gotta make sure you spend all that time with me. Right? You won't meet with just us, we're gonna leave kids. Maybe they'll be grown by now. Yeah. So what you want an RV for, Pastor? You can do other things, because I want it. I want a jet airplane. Y'all tripping. I do what I want. I want it. I want to be on TV like Thomas J. Henry now. So y'all laugh now. Oh, come on, Pastor. Why him? Why Wainwright? Why are we big time? Why the tough, smart lawyer? The hammer, right? Why he get to be on TV? See, no, we're laughing because we never see it. Brother Josh should be recording. Are y'all with me? Come on, somebody. Brother Garrett is a heck of a rapper. Brother Willie, they can rap. But you gotta be in place. I was listening to something. I told him the other day, I was listening to something you put on Facebook in a music bed. And I said, when I heard that, my brother would be doing that for the church too. Because he's talented. But the devil will keep you out of his will, out of the Lord's will for the rest of your life. If you let him. But if you become determined and you become focused and you are faithful and trust the Lord, God can give it all to you without regrets. But here's the thing, when God gives it to us, y'all stand up, we get ready to go, so y'all know we get ready to go. When God gives it to us, will you give it back to
Will you give it back to him in praise? Will you give it back to him in worship? Will you give it back to him in seed that he's planted in your hand? Will you give it back to him in love? Will you give back to God what God has given to you? I want it so bad that I'm just going to start praising God right now for it. Come on, let's give God some praise. Come on, let's give God some praise. I want it so bad I'm just going to worship him now for it. Hallelujah! I want it! Come on, somebody shout, I want it! Come on, you don't mean it, shout! So the Webster said, it's yours. She's so right. See, the thing is, I don't want what's yours. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians, just this past week, we learned Paul said, I'm not trying to lay on somebody else's foundation. I'm not trying to get what's yours. I'm not trying to get what's yours and yours. What's yours? See, we look around and we start trying to connive, and how can I get what somebody else got? How can I get her husband? Because he's good to her. Come on, somebody. How can I have his business? Are y'all with me? How can I drive what she drives? It's not yours. Whenever you take something that's not yours, it's called adultery. The Bible says that's the adulterous generation. Don't ever be jealous about or envious for what somebody else has. Be thankful for what God has in store for you. Listen, say this. Lord, I want everything,
Lord, I want everything
that has my name on it.
That has my name on it.
Come on, Lord! That has my name on it. I want it, and I'm gonna get it. I want it bad enough to be determined, bad enough to be faithful, bad enough to trust the Lord. How many love the Lord? Come on, how many love the Lord? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.